Please be seated. If you'll turn back to Acts chapter 28, we continue our series that will be drawing to a conclusion tonight as we come to this last chapter. This morning we're considering fellowship in the gospel. No man is an island. It's a phrase that you've probably heard in different contexts. It was first used, I think, by an English poet called John Donne in 1624 in his Meditation number 17, Devotions on Divergent Occasions. And John Donne was a Christian, and he understood in using this phrase, no man is an island, that we need one another. Isolationism, cutting ourselves off from other people, is spiritually damaging. John Donne wrote, no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as any manner of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. No man is an island. We're each a piece of the continent, part of the main. I don't know what John Donne would have thought of Brexit, but here he's speaking about who we are. We are intimately connected, and especially, most especially, within the church. Sometimes when we think of the Apostle Paul, we can have in mind this image of a man who's a bit of a maverick, a lone soldier, a solitary figure who marches out with the gospel. But if we consider Paul's journeys in the book of Acts, and if we pay close attention to the letters that he writes to the churches, we find that Paul is not an island, but rather he delights in companionship and friendship with his brothers and sisters in Christ. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul is able to say in chapter 1, verse 5, that he rejoices in their partnership or their fellowship in the gospel. He's thankful for the visits he receives. He rejoices in the sharing of fellowship with close friends whom he mentions at the end of many of his letters. Paul understands the importance of the church and what the church means to him. And just as Paul was used greatly for the church, so the church was used greatly in Paul's life. No man is an island. We need one another. We need one another in the work of the gospel. And as we come to the end of the book of Acts, we see the encouragement and the strength that this fellowship gives to Paul. The church is involved together in the gospel. Brothers and sisters in Christ serving one another, strengthening one another, encouraging one another. We would do well if we remember the words of John Donne, no man is an island. And we see this in verses 11 to 16 of Acts 28. Here we have fellowship in the gospel. And we see firstly the priority of Christian fellowship. The priority of Christian fellowship. Paul, Luke, Aristarchus, and the rest of those on board the ship, they leave the island of Malta after this three-month layover. It was probably mid to late February in 60 AD. That was the earliest time, mid to late February, when you could resume sailing. They still have a long journey to reach Rome. They stop briefly at Syracuse. Syracuse is on the island of Sicily. And they round the island and they put in at Rhegium. It was an important harbour. If you picture Italy like a big boot, Rhegium's down at the toe of the boot of Italy. And then a south wind picks up, so they can set sail and move further up the coast, and then they arrive at Puteoli. And here the passengers disembark the ship, and they make a journey on foot up to Rome, a journey that would have been about 130 miles. But here, when they arrive in Puteoli, here in this port, there are Christians. Perhaps Luke was sent out to find if there was a church meeting, because he says, "We found the brothers," that is, brothers and sisters. Here are the people of Christ. And these prisoners, Paul, Aristarchus, and Luke the doctor, on arriving at the port, the first thing that they do is seek out Christian fellowship. They go looking for Christian family. Finding them is a priority. Christian fellowship is of huge importance to Paul and his friends. They arrive at the port, and you can picture the scene. Paul perhaps saying, "Look, let's go and find some Christians. Let's go and see if the people of Christ are here. Let's go and look for them. Let's find brothers and sisters. I wonder if there are any here that we can meet up with and have fellowship with. Let's go looking for a church." Growing up, we often took our holidays in France. We packed up a trailer tent. Daddy had the route on several different pages of paper and an AA map marked out as to where we would drive. Sometimes it seemed as if we drove all day long before stopping and pitching the tent. But always on a Saturday, wherever we were, we drove around looking for a church. I was young at the time. I wanted to be at the beach. But no. The important thing was we find Christian fellowship. Because the next day we want to meet with them. We want to fellowship with them, even if it's going to be in French. We went looking for an evangelical church. Often it was just a few people, a small gathering. But looking back, it struck me how delighted they were that brothers and sisters would come and worship with them. Friends, there is a priority in fellowship, in the work of the gospel. Making the most of spending time with fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, it was a priority for Paul. And it should be a priority for us. Paul's focus, remember this single-minded focus and this promise from God that he will be in Rome, that he will get to testify concerning the things of Christ in Rome, that Paul's desire is to reach the church in Rome and impart to them some spiritual gift to strengthen them and encourage them. But along the way, the importance and the priority is fellowship with believers. Is this a priority for you and for your family? Do you make every effort to be amongst Christ's people? Your brothers and your sisters. Not just at morning worship. Not just here this morning and then go home and say, "Well, that's my bit done for the day." But we've evening worship tonight. We get to close out the day with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Fellowship is to be a priority. Make the midweek prayer meeting a priority. It's not always suitable for us. Work commitments can creep in. But make it a priority as far as you are able. And this week at midweek, we're going to be getting to see a video of two of our brothers. John and Jack are going to appear on video for us and share with us something from Australia. Now, our sister Karen is too shy to appear in video. But we're going to be hearing prayer points about brothers and sisters in Australia, the church in Australia. Make it a priority because fellowship is a priority. The woman's fellowship. For our young people, see why. No man is an island. We need this fellowship. Paul needed this fellowship. Look, go out and see if you can find a church. And he found brothers and sisters. The priority of Christian fellowship in the work of the gospel. But then secondly, the witness of Christian fellowship. The witness of Christian fellowship. These brothers and sisters in Puteoli, they're delighted that Paul and Luke and Aristarchus have found them. So they invite them to stay for 7 days. The word invite means to urge or prevail upon. They implore Paul and his companions to remain there. I was thinking, how could I best describe this word? I don't want to cause any offense, but our ladies, when often they're serving supper or something at one of our church functions, they're good at inviting you to take another sandwich or another bun. They implore you, urge you, they prevail upon you. The sandwiches are thrust under. That's what they're doing here. They're prevailing upon Paul and his companions, urging them to stay. Remember, Paul is a prisoner. He's in chains. But these Christians urge him to stay for a week. And they do. There's a 130-mile trip to Rome. That's the destination, the place that Paul has set his face to go. The Roman centurion Julius, the one in charge, has a duty to do. He wants to get to Rome. He wants to fulfill his duty. But they're urged to stay for 7 days. Back in Malta, the people showed unusual kindness. But now these Christians show Christ-like kindness. This is Christian love. This is love that has been brought about by the work of Christ in their lives and love for brothers and sisters. This is love for one another, love for the church, the people of Christ, the community of believers serving one another and loving one another. But we have to ask the question, how could they stay 7 days? Paul's a prisoner. Julius, the Roman centurion, part of the Augustan cohort, he wants to fulfill his duty and get to Rome. So how could they stay so long with such an important final leg of the journey to complete? The answer is because Julius, the Roman centurion, allows it. The same way that Paul, although a prisoner in chains, was allowed to stay in his own quarters in Rome, as we'll see this evening, and how for 2 whole years he was able to be a prisoner, not in a cell, but in his own rented accommodation. The power and the might of Rome had seen Paul and had seen the fellow Christians. It saw their behavior, their love for one another, their fellowship. And it spoke to the ruling authority. So much so that Julius said to Paul, "We can stay the week. I'll allow it." Julius was impacted by Paul and the Christians. Now, we don't know if this man was ever converted. would be wonderful if he was. But Luke doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that Julius was struck by what he sees and by what he hears. Go back to chapter 27, verse 3. At the beginning of the voyage that ended with the shipwreck, Luke says, "The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for." There again we have the priority of Christian fellowship. But also this witness of Christian fellowship. Julius noticed something different about Paul and these Christians. And that's why he lets him go off, probably with another Roman soldier, still in chains, that he might be looked after, that he might be cared for by fellow Christians. That's why they're allowed to stay 7 days here in Puteoli. Now in this port, people who have never met Paul, inviting him to stay for 7 days. Julius is probably thinking, who are these people? Then when they eventually set off to Rome, they're greeted, first of all, at the Forum of Appius. It's about 43 miles out from the city center of Rome. It's along a famous road called the Appian Way. And then more brothers and sisters come out and they meet Paul at the Three Taverns. It's about 33 miles further out from Rome. So 10 miles further along on the journey, there's more. It's also on the Appian Way. And these Christians come together, they greet one another, they encourage one another, they pray with one another, they worship together, they fellowship together, they love one another. And Julius must be asking, who are these people? Look at how they treat this prisoner. Look at the love that they have for one another. What an impact this must have had on this man, that it did have on this man, that he showed Paul such favoritism. Tertullian, who was an African theologian, he wrote about 200 AD. In his defense of Christianity, he said, "Look how they love one another. The fellowship of Christians is a witness for the gospel. The world sees. The world takes note." Paul had far more liberty than any other prisoners because Julius saw something different. The fellowship of believers was a witness. He saw Christ Jesus in these men, women, and children. Our fellowshipping, it has an impact on those around us. What we do today, it's part of our witness as Christ's people. As cars were going along the road this morning, and as they saw you crossing the road, coming in here, coming to fellowship with your brothers and sisters, that in itself is a witness. As they hear you talk about your church family, as you share with your work colleagues tomorrow that you were at church over the weekend, that's a witness. Are you ready for that question tomorrow at work? Well, what did you do over the weekend? Saying not much isn't really an answer. You are able to say, "Well, actually, yesterday I was at church. I love going to my church. I love meeting with my brothers and sisters in Christ." The person might look at you strangely, but so what? The fellowship of believers is a witness. They see that you love one another. What a starting point in our witness. For people to see our fellowship, to see love for one another. That's a witness and it has an impact. People should be able to look at us and say, "See how they love one another. Look at the lengths that they go to meet together. to strengthen and encourage one another. Look at the kindness and the generosity that they show together, the genuine love. And then they might ask the question, I wonder what makes the difference in their life. And we can say to them, it's not a what, but a who. It's Jesus Christ. Julius and all the other soldiers, and whatever other prisoners there were, and maybe the crew of the ship, they could all see, they all knew, these Christians are different. Their fellowship is a witness. Their love for one another and their love for Christ makes them stand out. That's what lets Julius let them remain there for 7 days. That's what made him show favoritism to Paul. The witness of Christian fellowship. And then thirdly and lastly, the encouragement of Christian fellowship. The encouragement of Christian fellowship. These brothers and sisters who come out from the city of Rome, they come down the Appian Way. It's a road that's still there today, and you can walk along that road out from Rome. As you head down, you come across these Christian catacombs, these burial places, and you can go in and see the catacombs. But these brothers and sisters, they head out this famous road and they meet Paul. Paul, remember, has already sent them a letter, the book of Romans. They've had that letter for 3 years. They're looking forward to Paul's visit. And now they come and they greet him. Look at the end of verse 15. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. Paul rejoices before God. He gives thanks and praise to God for these brothers and sisters. God has provided Christian fellowship for Paul. He's not an island. Paul needs the church. He needs fellowship. He needs this Christian love and concern, and so he thanks God for it when he receives it, because he knows that it comes from God the Father. He knows that we love because he first loved us. He thanks God. Do you thank God for our Christian fellowship? Do you thank God for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you rejoice in what God has given to us? And then Paul is strengthened. He's confidence. He's courage. Courage because of this fellowship. Paul is unsure what will happen in Rome. God has promised that he will testify to the things that he has seen and heard. Testify about Christ in Rome. God has promised that. But God has not promised that this will not lead to Paul's death. God has not promised that Paul would be set free. God has not promised that Paul might end up in prison for the rest of his life. Paul doesn't know what lies ahead, that there is uncertainty. But he's strengthened for whatever it will be by Christian fellowship. This togetherness in the gospel, it spurs Paul on so much so that he can say, whatever lies ahead. We can think of Paul as the man who can endure anything on his own. But we see he needs Christian fellowship. He needed the love of fellow believers in Christ. And if Paul needs it, for whatever lies ahead to strengthen and encourage him, then so too must we. As we desire to live for Christ and witness for Christ, as we set our feet on the path that God has marked out for us, we need to know and be acutely aware that we need encouragement from Christian fellowship. Meeting with fellow workers of the gospel. Meeting with those who are as weak as we are, who struggle as we do, who face the difficulties that we face, fellow flawed believers, and yet God uses that fellowship to strengthen and encourage his saints. We need this fellowship. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ. I know for some of you, as you come through the doors, and even this morning, you do see your church family and you give thanks to God for it. You rejoice because of the fellowship he's provided for you. And I know that you're strengthened and you're encouraged. The disappointment of that previous week, the fear of what's coming up this week, that concern, that difficulty, that burden. And already in the fellowship of believers, and as you speak to one another in love after the service, you're encouraged, you're strengthened. As the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need this fellowship. There's strength and encouragement in fellowship. We're to give thanks to God for the fellowship we share. No man, no woman is an island, but we are to be those who delight in and make priority the fellowship of Christ's people in the work of the gospel. And we're to find comfort and strength and encouragement in that fellowship. And we're to see it as a witness, a declaring to the world around us the great things that God has done for us in Christ. The world should see and say, see how they love one another. This is the fellowship that we share in the gospel. Amen.